be seated. Love to hear you sing. You're doing such a good job this morning. Gentlemen, good job this morning too. God closes one door and opens a new door. Isn't that something? Gentlemen's doing just fine. And we appreciate her so much. And her mother. And her father. Hebrews chapter 2, please, this morning. Hebrews chapter 2. We're not certain who wrote the book of Hebrews. The Bible doesn't say, but it has all the earmarks of the Apostle Paul. And if he did write it, we don't know why he didn't take credit for it. Maybe it was because of persecution. We don't know. But it is the Word of God. That's the important thing. In Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. Or I'm going to read, and just follow along with me. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompensive reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And let us pray. Father, thank you for the greatest thing in all the world, your great salvation. We pray that you give us hearing ears this morning and help us to apply your truths in our life. Help us to appreciate the great salvation that's in Jesus Christ. And we thank you and give you all the praise and the glory. In God's name we pray. Amen. Well, next Sunday, of course, is Faith Promise Sunday. I hope you'll let the Lord challenge your faith in your giving to world missions, which is the very heart of the local church. Missions, missionaries spreading this morning the greatest news, the greatest message of the entire world, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Amen? And the eyes of men today are witnessing some great things. Some great things in technology, in every area of society and life. We're living in a day of satellites traveling through space at supersonic speed. We're living in a day where people are living in real time, which is something to get used to, real time. I can find out more in 30 seconds going to some social networking about my family, then I could find out how their day was or what they were thinking 2 minutes ago or what they're thinking right now. Sometimes we had to make the phone call and say, hey, why are you telling the whole world you didn't call us? I've got to hear from it secondhand. I've got to hear from it from, 150 of your friends. But we're living in real time. And we're living in a time of smartphones and smart bombs. Dangerous combination, amen? But yet the greatest thing that man can ever know is not about smartphones or smart bombs. But the greatest thing that man can ever know this morning is the great salvation of our God, amen? Well, what makes it so great? I'd like to share with you a few reasons why it is so great and what makes it so great. First of all, it's great because God thought of it. Amen. Man did not think of it. Man didn't come up with this idea and say, you know what, I think I'll write a Bible and I think that I'm going to talk about God in it and I think I'm going to, in this book, say how rotten man is. When man writes a book, it talks about how good man is, right? So everything in this book is contrary to what man would write if he were to write it. But it's good, it's great. The great salvation is great, first of all, because God thought of it. Some of our ideas at times can be good. Sometimes God gives us ideas, amen? And when he does give us ideas, they're good because he gave them to us. And we should thank him for it. But some of our ideas are not so great. Some of our ideas are very destructive even. Anybody remember Ralph Cramden? Yes. The Honeymooners. Old Ralph, every week, he had some scheme to get rich. And he would go into the family savings And he would spend money that he didn't have, or he'd borrow money he didn't have. And he'd convince his wife, Alice, that this was the greatest thing since popcorn. And he'd go ahead and do it, and he'd yell at her and say, "You just don't want me to be successful." And then he says, "I'll show you, I'll show you, I'll show you." And then for the next 20 minutes, we get to see like one terrible thing after another. And then he has his head between his legs, and he's begging his wife for mercy and forgiveness. And he says, "Honey, I'm sorry, it'll never happen again." And they kiss and make up, and he says, "Honey, you're the greatest." And that basically is the way the program went, week after week after week. Sometimes it was his friend upstairs that he took advantage of. Sometimes it was the people at work. He was always scheming, always trying to, as he said, hit that high note. Very entertaining live television back in those days, and clean television back in those days, I might add. But God thought of man's salvation before the world was even created. That's how great the idea was. Like, look at 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. And verse 18 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things." In other words, you weren't bought back to God by things that break down, things that rust, things that people steal. That's not how you were purchased by God. "You were not redeemed by corruptible things as even silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But this is how you were redeemed. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Isn't that amazing? Long before there was a world, Christ Jesus, slain before the foundation of the world, it was the idea of God, in the mind of God, to redeem man that wasn't even made yet. Isn't that amazing? To me, that is simply amazing. Yes, God thought of it before there ever was a world, before there ever was a man, before he ever flung the stars in space, before his hands even created the dry ground, before he made the sea, before he spoke the world into existence, and before he even took the dust from the earth and made Adam. Amen. Amen. He was working on a plan before the foundation of the world that included you and included me and included his death on the cross. But notice the greatness of God in creation, of how he made all things visible and invisible. You know, we see the majestic mountains. We can see some pretty amazing things by satellite, by cameras. Some of these history channels show us some wonderful things. I've got one internet channel that all it has is scenic beauty of the earth. And for, I think, 30 minutes, you can watch the great waterfalls on the planet. Another one is the great forests of the planet. Another one is just great scenic places in this world. Pretty amazing. And so we notice the greatness of God in creation. From the majestic mountains to the seashores to the waterfalls in the mountains. And we could go on and on about all the different types and the kinds of things that are still beautiful on this planet. Oh yes, man has destroyed quite a bit of it, but there still is a lot of beauty in this world, because God made it. Amen? His ideas are great about the makeup of man. I'm not talking about makeup. Although some men, unfortunately for them, they want to put on makeup. They want to do the things that women do. I don't understand that. Do you?
No.
I don't understand. I think they're confused. Our cultures are trying to erase the distinction between man and a woman. And yet they try as they may. God has made them differently. I celebrate that difference this morning. Amen? Amen. I'm glad I can look at my wife and say, thank God she doesn't look like me. Amen? But in any event, I better move on this subject. Or maybe I should stay here for a minute. What do you think? There's a difference between man and woman. Hollywood's trying to erase that difference. Hollywood's saying, you know what? It's all right for men to be intimate with men. It's no big deal. Well, let's go to Romans chapter 1 for a moment. Let's just see what God Almighty has a few passing thoughts on the subject. Romans chapter 1. Now, this will not get me invited to those Hollywood parties. Not that I would go. And it's hard for decent people to get work in Hollywood if they don't toe the line with the liberal slant. But notice Romans chapter 1. Go down to verse number 21, please. Oh, verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. God is saying, you see the eternal creation of God that has no, space has no beginning or end. It's infinite. You see all of that, you know there's got to be an infinite God. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Why? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Notice verse 25. God says, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now notice, this is like a snowball now going down a steep hill. Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. People given over to this lifestyle, they don't want to even think about God anymore. Amen? Amen. They're atheists now. But notice, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God says it takes a reprobate mind to do that, and I've given them over to that, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness. You see that snowball is getting bigger now, right? Covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things. And I'm going to throw in another one, God says, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. It's not natural what we're talking about here. Amen? Amen. It's against nature. Who knowing the judgment of God, verse 32, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Well, I celebrate the difference of man and woman. Amen?
Amen.
And it's God's plan. But man is going his own way today. Hollywood's promoting it. Television's promoting it. And they can promote it all they want to. It's still wrong. It'll always be wrong. But not only is God's great salvation great because it's God's idea, but secondly, salvation is the greatest thing in all the world because Jesus himself, all by his lonesome, bought it and paid for it without any help from anyone. Amen?
Amen.
Our gift of salvation was bought and paid for by his life's blood. Amen. As he hung on the cross and shed his blood as the sacrificial lamb that taketh away the sins of the world, he paid for our sins on the cross, the cruel cross. And he waits this morning to give that eternal life to any and all who will accept it and him.
Amen.
And accepting him is accepting the gift.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Saying, Lord, I accept you. I accept your gift, but I accept you. You come into my life. You be the captain of my ship. Amen? Oh, I know I'll make a lot of mistakes, but I want you to be my captain. And that makes it the greatest gift ever. You know, America still has greatness for the same reason. Because this morning there are others that are still shedding their blood for our freedom.
Amen.
This morning, as I'm here, there are men and women. God help us, but there are women in combat risking their life as we speak, facing danger, facing stress, facing sadness, facing loneliness, facing terror and death itself, so that you and I this morning could live without fear and enjoy all the things that God wants us to enjoy in life. Thank God for them.
Amen.
Thank God for them. Next week I'm going to put a name of a sergeant who's stationed in Afghanistan. He just got there. He's a canine unit. Him and his canine dog look for explosives and try to keep people safe. You know, it'd be a wonderful thing if you'd take that bulletin home next week and together we just flood him with some mail. It would change his life. He'll never forget it, to get a whole bunch of mail in one day. You know, when a soldier goes to the mailbox, a lot of times there's nothing there. He might get maybe one letter a week if he's fortunate. But imagine what it would mean if he got really flooded with some mail. It'd be a wonderful thing that we can do for him. And so you can make a difference in many ways. But let's do that. And if God lays it on your heart, send him a care package. Get an old shoe box. You ladies got tons of shoes. I know you do. You save those boxes. Fill up that box the next time you're at the store with some goodies, junk food, whatever. Take it to the post office. Mail it to that soldier. He'll never forget it. He'll share it with his friends. And he'll say, you know what? This is from a church in Garfield, New Jersey. Wow. Nice. I remember getting such letters 40-some years ago. It means a whole lot. I remember my buddy got a cake in the mail. Didn't look like much when he opened it. It was all crumbs. But he shared his crumbs with a bunch of us. And that memory lingers all of these years. It will lift his spirits. It'll make his day. It'll give him a memory he'll never forget. And I know we can do that. It's such a small thing. But God's salvation is so great, thirdly, because it was the Holy Spirit that brought it to us. If it were not for the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, we would not seek him.
Amen.
We would not go to hear his word. We would not be receptive to the things of God. He brought us to Christ. He convicted us. And then he convinced us that it was the truth. This morning, if you believe the Bible is inspired, is infallible, is the very Word of God, you believe that because the Holy Ghost convinced you about it. Thank God for his ministry. He convinced you that you're saved. He convinced you that it's true. He convinced you that there is a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Do you believe that?
Amen.
It's because the Holy Spirit convinced you. If you die today and you're 100% sure you go to heaven, you have that assurance because the Holy Spirit convinced you it's true and it's worth believing. Yes, salvation is so great because the Holy Spirit brought it to us and came and got us and rescued us. It's the greatest thing in all the world also because the Bible teaches it. The main theme of the entire Bible, 66 books in the Bible, 1189 chapters in the Bible. The central theme is man's redemption. Man can be rescued from his sins because of a loving God who came into the world that he made and became a human sacrifice for our sins. The Bible says he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We gave him our dirty old garment. He gave us a robe of pure white. Amen. On the cross, he took the garment of our sins. As he cried, my God, why do you forsake me? As God the Father turned his back on his Son because he cannot look on sin. And then he cried, it's finished. It's paid for. Amen. The sins of the world are paid for. Heaven's gates are open. All may enter in the name of Jesus. So we gave him our dirty old coat. He gave us a robe of righteousness. If you're saved this morning, you're wearing a robe of his righteousness. In the sight of God, you're righteous because Jesus is righteous and he lives in you.
Amen.
Amen? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And one day, we're going to be totally without sin. We're saved from the power of sin. One day we'll be saved from the very presence of it. I can't imagine a world without it, but it's going to be something. The Bible teaches it. The Bible has given salvation. I've got five tests. Number one, it passed the water test. Old Noah saw to it that it passed the water test. Amen. God gave him instructions to build an ark. To build it so big and to house so many animals, and it took him a long time to finish. And as he's working on it, he's witnessing to the crowds that mocked him. It had never rained before. That ship was not by any large body of water, and it was heavy, and he built it, huge, huge ship. And about the time that they were finishing up on that ship, God told Noah, the time is ready. Take your family, go into the ark. And animals have a sense of what to do by nature. They start coming on their own, up the gangplank, into that place of safety. And then the Bible says that God shut the door. And then the rains came and flooded the earth. And I can, in my mind's eye, imagine seeing people running back to that ark and knocking on the door of that ark and saying, Noah, let us in. Noah, let us in. I believe you. I believe you. Let us in. But they couldn't enter, could they? They could not enter because God shut the door. When God shuts the door, no man opens it. When God opens the door, no man closes it.
Amen.
Today is the day of salvation. The door is open.
Amen.
For anyone, young or old.
Amen.
But when God shuts that door, that person's opportunity is gone forever. But it passed the water test. Jesus said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Moses also saw to it that it passed the water test. Remember, he led 600,000 some men through the wilderness and across the Red Sea on dry ground. That must have been something to see. Do you remember seeing the Ten Commandments on television or in the movies? Pretty amazing, even at that time, how they showed the water piling up. Just like that. They went across on dry ground. And then Pharaoh's army and chariots followed them. And the sea went back and destroyed them. Egypt was destroyed by all the plagues and by the death angel. And Egypt has never recovered from that day. They were a world power at that time. They have never recovered. Pharaoh was a type of Satan. God says today, Satan, let my people go that they may serve me. Let the church go that they may be free to serve me. Let them go, they're addicted to pleasure. Let them go, they're addicted to television. Let them go, they're addicted to electronics. Let them go, they have no time for me or my church. Let my people go. Amen. Let them go. Satan says, no. I know I can't send them to hell, but I still want to control them. I don't want them to get other people saved. I don't want them to have a happy life. I like it when they're miserable. Oh, God's great salvation not only passed the water test, but it passed the fire test. Look at Daniel chapter 3, please. Daniel chapter 3, the story of the Hebrew children that wouldn't worship the image made by the king. Daniel chapter 3, notice verse number 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes and governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers and counselors and sheriffs and all the rulers. Boy, you talk about a big government. I mean, this guy did not believe in small government, did he? To come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And notice verse number 5. That at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackcloth, the psaltery, all my instruments, when you hear the music play, that's when you stop what you're doing and you bow down to this image and worship this image. And all who will not do that are going to be burned in the fire. Prove your loyalty to the king. Boy, they weren't asking too much, were they? It didn't bother the people under his control, but it did bother the Jewish people in captivity. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided that they were not going to change their lifestyle. They were used to praying to their God, and they weren't going to bow to this image. And so, as the story goes, they wouldn't bend. They wouldn't bow. And thank God they didn't burn. The king was mad and furious and threw them in the furnace. Notice verse 10. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet and all these instruments shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever will not fall down and worship, he will be cast in the midst of the furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs in the province of Babylon. So his henchmen now are ratting on the 3 Jewish young men. And they're brought before the king. And they tell the king that we're not going to bow to your image. And the king says, tell you what, I'm going to give you one more chance. And I'm going to explain it to you one more time. And they said, you know, king, we don't need one more chance. We're not going to bow down to that image. It's not going to happen. If God saves us, he saves us. If he doesn't save us, he won't save us. Notice verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats and their other garments and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent In the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men into the midst of the fire? And they said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.
Amen.
Oh yes, salvation passes the fire test. It also passes the prison test. Paul and Silas are arrested and beaten for preaching Christ's resurrection, thrown into the prison, whipped, beaten, scarred. And at midnight, they start to sing and they start to pray. Jail plus songs equal earthquake. The Bible says the earth shook greatly. Everyone's bands were loosed. And the jailer came in and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And so he believed on the Lord. The Bible says he was baptized that evening. And he even cleansed the wounds on Paul and Silas, the scars on their back. I can see him, tears in his eyes, saying, I'm sorry, Paul. I had to do it. It was my job. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Paul said, it's all right, brother. Don't worry. It's nothing. I got a lot of scars on my back. Don't mean nothing. You're forgiven. Boy, what a testimony. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, salvation passes the jail test. Last of all, it passes the graveyard test. You remember the story in John 11 where Jesus goes to the house of Lazarus who passed away. And he purposely stayed behind. He could have been there earlier. He could have healed him like he healed so many. But he allowed him to pass away. And he stands before his grave. And the Bible says, Jesus wept, the shortest verse in the English Bible. And he tells his disciples, roll the stone away. And his disciple says, Lord, by this time he stinketh. You don't want to go in there. Jesus said, if you shall believe, you're going to see great things this day. Roll the stone away. And they rolled the stone away. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Someone said, if Jesus didn't say the word Lazarus, every person and every grave and every graveyard would have come forth that day at the name and the power of Jesus. But Lazarus came forth bound in his grave clothes, hopping out of that tomb. I'm not going to hop. I'm tired this morning. I've been hopping all week. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. The disciples took the grave clothes off him. They gave him something to eat. Lazarus, for several days, was in a better place. Was called out of eternity to come back to this world. Can you imagine the conversations he had with his two sisters after that? Amazing, isn't it?
Amen.
I recently heard about a sister in Christ that passed away. On her deathbed, she said goodbye to her family, and she said, my sister's calling me. She's dressed in a robe of white. She's so beautiful. I must go. Isn't that amazing? Salvation is so great. Lastly, it's great because the devil hates it. He fights it. He's against salvation. He fought it by... even today, by creating new laws, trying to keep the gospel from being spread in our land and other lands. He fights it by providing false teachers and false Bibles and false pastors, promoting salvation by works or half-truths. Satan fought it in the Garden of Eden, didn't he? He fought it when Moses was born. Had all the male children put to death, drowned. He was saved, he was spared. He fought it when Jesus was born, tried to have all the babies in Bethlehem killed because the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. He fought it when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and was tempted in every way, yet without sin. And he fought it in so many ways, even putting Jesus to death on a cross. He fought it through working through Judas Iscariot. And he fights it today. He fights the work of God and he fights Christian progress in our lives. But mark it down, he is our foe. He is our enemy. Our Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you this morning for this great salvation. Help us to rejoice in it. Even though at times there are situations and circumstances that are not joyful in our life, help us to see there is plenty in Christ to rejoice in. Rejoice that our names are written in heaven. Rejoice that you're coming back one day. Rejoice that we're going to see you one day. Rejoice that we still have the privilege of prayer. And help us to be people of prayer. Because prayer gives us power. Prayer helps us to witness. Witnessing brings persecution that you permit and allow. But Lord, help us to spread your word this week to those around us. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed as our pianist plays a verse of invitation. This morning, maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart. I'd like to be remembered in prayer this morning. We'll pray for you. Anyone like that this morning? God bless you. Yes. Got an unsaved loved one? Yes. Maybe Satan's got a hold on your life. You're a Christian, but he's not letting you go. God wants you to serve him. You say, Pastor, I need prayer. I know I should be serving him better. I want to be let go. I want to serve him. Anyone like that this morning? I'll pray for you. I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you. God bless you. Anyone else? Father in heaven, may your will be done in our lives today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for this great salvation. Help us to enjoy it, revel in it, and to share it with others. Be with those that have special needs. Comfort those that have need of comforting. Strengthen all of us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn book this morning. Let's open it.
the men which did Mrs. Jenke a hand. We appreciate it. Services at 6 p.m. tonight, and we're looking for testimonies. If you'd like to share how the Mackeys have been blessing to you and your family, we're going to have a short period of testimonies before we go downstairs to eat. All right?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
How are you?
Alice? Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's been a great day. I tell you, I love all of you, appreciate all of you. We've had a wonderful church family here, don't we?
Yes.
Great group of people. And so, look forward to seeing you tonight. And then this week, let's look for the Lord. Let's take our stand. Amen?
Amen.
Let's be who we are, unashamed. And see how God blesses us. And we'll try to continue to reach out in our own world with that great good news. So let's be dismissed in prayer. And Tony, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Thank you, blessed God, for this great service. We thank you for the words of the Bible, Father. We thank you for giving us these words. May we live by these words as we go out into the world, Lord, to spread your word, preach your word, and not be ashamed of it, Lord. We thank you, dear God, for being our God and blessed Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Give us the strength and wisdom to not be ashamed to spread your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.